Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your time with us tonight. This is DSMA Live. DSMA stands for Diabetes Social Media Advocacy and is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. We're all about empowering, connecting, supporting, and educating those who live with diabetes. Tune in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at dsmalive.org. Our show is recorded live, and tonight is the 17th of December, 2015. We'd love to hear from anyone out there listening. Our call-in number is 760-283-5150. Again, that number is 760-283-5150. My name is Scott. I'm one of the co-hosts. Our other co-host, George, is off celebrating with his work, doing some holiday Christmas partying, and I think there's also a meeting involved in there somewhere, so we'll cut him a little bit of slack there. But George, we miss you, as always, when you can't make it. And then, as always, we've got the founder and creator of DSMA, Charisse.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. It's been a very long time since we've had a show, and we're going to talk about that and kind of share or give you all a quick or sneak peek at what we plan on doing for next year and years to follow. So, because we've been doing DSMA Live for 5 years now, and it's time to do something different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are pretty excited about the future. We're not going anywhere. It's just going to be a different format, but I think you're going to enjoy it. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I sure hope so. And actually, we're really counting on you to let us know if you're not, because we, of course, we enjoy doing this, but we really do it for you guys. So, if we make a pivot and do something a little bit different and you're just not feeling it, then we really need you to let us know. But, you know, a lot of the changes that we are thinking about and talking about behind the scenes are really a reflection of what we're seeing in the community. And what I'm seeing and what we've talked about is that the level of audio content and podcasting and shows and things you can listen to about diabetes, that stuff has just grown a tremendous amount over the past year or so. And we feel like we need to step our game up a bit because I was listening to us do a show a while back, and I'm thinking, as I'm talking, I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, if I were listening to me right now, I wouldn't really want to listen to myself anymore. And so it's like we need to step our game up and give you guys some stuff that is fun and educational and is useful for you. So we pulled back a little bit, took a look at kind of what's going on out there, and it's just an amazing, amazing, amazing amount of really high quality content happening out there. So we think that we can't just continue to do the same old thing and still stay relevant in the field. So we're pulling back a little bit to regroup and refocus and improve what we're doing. At least that's the game plan anyway. So did I summarize that okay, Charisse?
Yeah, but you was a little harsh. I think that
you're right.
Yeah, you was pretty harsh, but I think that instead of saying that everybody's stepping up their game, and I don't think that is that we need to step up our game. I just think we've been in the same space for 5 years, so it's time for a change. Mm-hmm. It's time to you know, regroup
evolve.
And evolve. Mm-hmm. Because if we can't continue this, I think This is just my thought. I think that there's other new podcasts out there that they can, they, that space is there. They have new, fresh content, and they are going after the audiences, which is good. And that's how we were 5 years ago when we started. I mean, we were having guests every week. I mean, we did it all, and we all did it when we had a full-time job and still managed life. So so I think, though, the content hasn't been as good because we've been extremely busy, and with three of us that work full-time jobs and have other duties, it's kind of hard when we don't have a staff of people to help us or have the time commitment where we can't schedule those guests. So the good thing is about moving to something different but still giving you that DSMA flair is that we will be able to be more flexible. So it won't be something that's recorded every Thursday night. It may be, say, the 15th and the 30th of each month to give us time to prepare for what we're going to do. So I think that, yes, our content hasn't been good this year, and it's not because we didn't want to give it to you. I just think, as one of our good friends Rob says, is that it's time for us to zig while everybody's zagging, because we want to continue to bring, you know, information and about life with diabetes and technology and everything that we were doing, you know, 4 years ago. We want to bring that back. It's just finding the time that fits, because when you record a show every single week for the last 5 years, there's some things that's going to have to be done. I mean, we're not Oprah, and we don't have an Oprah Winfrey staff, and we don't have a producer. We don't have any of that. It's just us. So I think that what we're doing is evolving. And even though this last year we've kind of fell off the wagon as far as content and having guests, I think that, you know, some of our shows were really good. Some of them were kind of, you know, kind of rushed or put together or thrown together. And I apologize for that on my end, because usually we're a lot more prepared than what we are. But like I said, just this past year has just been a really busy year for everyone on the team. So we think that moving to a different format will help us, you know, get back to that, to the professional side, but also bring more content to you at a differently, right? Because that's pretty much what we're doing. We're just moving it, making it different, making it more convenient, so you do not have to sit at a computer every day or every Thursday. But it's a way for us to still, and if all three of us can't be on, we can still do something together. And I think that's when we're the best, is when we're together, because which is kind of good that we are moving away and doing something different, because I think that everybody will be able to get to see George's creative side. I mean, this is something that everybody has to get a taste of and love, because he's so amazing. The way his mind thinks is amazing, and I'm glad that the community, because the old community, the older Diabetes Unlocked community, they saw that. So I'm happy that the new community, the newer community, will be able to see how creative he can be, and I think he would also help us get our creative juices flowing again. So I think that this is not only good for the community, but is good for us and helping us grow and evolve in more ways than just one. So, but I'm thinking that this new format probably will not happen. Probably I'm thinking maybe second quarter, so more like March, because we still have to work some things out. We have to put it together, and we just don't want to put it together and throw it out there. I think we're past that part of throwing stuff together and putting it out there. It's going to take some time and some detail, and like Scott said, please give us your feedback, because we don't do this for us. We do it because we enjoy doing it for the community, and if it's something that you want us, that you would like to see, or a format that you think would be good for the show, let us know. We are open to any ideas that you all have.
Yeah, absolutely. And as usual, you said everything much more eloquently than I did. So thank you for that.
That's okay, because I think sometimes, you know, we are our worst critics, right? We come down on ourselves a lot. And I probably would have said what you said, but then since you said what you said, I had to come and say, wait a minute. I had to pull the Scott card. You pulled a Charisse card. I had to pull the Scott card and say, wait a minute, we're not giving ourselves enough credit here. We've been doing this for 5 years. 5 years.
Yeah.
And the average lifespan of a diabetes podcast or a Blog Talk radio show has been 2 to 3 years. So we're already 2 years outside of that, and I think most of them usually last a year. I mean, if you really think about it.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
So everything else that's more things that's been more consistent is vloggers, and sometimes they even fall off. And blogs. So,
and it
if
is,
you look at that,
I think it's something to note, too, that that we do, as mentioned in the intro, we record live. So that means that we, it's a weekly appointment, and that takes a lot of consistency. And I know that we've all made a lot of sacrifices in many different ways to be here and do the show so consistently over those 5 years. So you're right. It does take there's a big piece of acknowledgement that we should give ourselves there. I also think it's really interesting about the self-criticism thing, and I actually think that comes back a bit to diabetes, because through the course of our, you know, pick a time period, through our day, our week, our month, our whatever, we are evaluating and troubleshooting and optimizing everything, right? So we're like constantly criticizing ourselves, even though we don't think of it as criticizing, but we're always looking at situations trying to think of, okay, what could I have done different or better, or how can I do it better next time, or I guess to some degree you're doing that with life all the time, but I think diabetes definitely amplifies and emphasizes that self-criticism, because we're evaluating every meal, every dose of insulin, every adjustment we make. We're evaluating it again multiple times through the day for hours and hours afterwards. And sometimes we're dealing with a killer high, high or low blood sugar that just knocks us on our ass because of it. And then we really start with some of that critical self-talk. So, I think it's definitely amplified because of that.
Yep, and every Thursday since November 2010, we have pretty much, except for maybe 30 or 40 shows, we have pretty much been here to give something, whether it's, having someone from device companies or someone from pharma or someone telling and sharing about, their new project, or someone just from the community just hanging out. We have always been here. I mean, so I think that, as our children gets older, and I think too, though, there was one thing that, as I was, DSMA was starting, I went to this place called SCORE to try to get some information about nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy started his business, and he's older, he's probably in his 60s, maybe early 60s. And he told me, no matter what you do in life, do not miss anything that involves your kids or your spouse, because you can never get that back. He said, no matter how successful you are, they will not forget that.
Right. Wow.
So with that being said, you know, sacrificing Thursday night dinners with your family, Thursday night dinners with saying, hey, I'm sorry, I have to go do the SMA. So I want to thank our families for giving up 5 years of their Thursday night to allow us to give to the community, because it's not just us, it's our families that's giving up time with us to do this. So I think that right now moving into a different format will, like you said, give us more flexibility and more time with our families. And I'm just excited. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be fun. I hope everyone enjoys it once we get it together. It would be really nice if we could find some college interns to help out. Because that would actually be really nice. But until then, I think that the new one's going to be fine. I think that doing one or two shows and giving it our all, doing one or two shows versus half doing it for four shows, is totally worth worth the change.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So, so we're not going anywhere. We're still here. We're just figuring out and putting things together for Q2 of 2016 for DSMA Live. And we'll definitely keep you posted. We may not have shows every week. We might just do something once a month up until we get the next thing going. So that way we won't leave you hanging. But we're still here, and we'll definitely keep you posted on what's next. And thank you so much for listening to us every Thursday out there, because we do have some faithful listeners. And we definitely appreciate each and every one of you. And just thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for all of you guys. So much appreciated.
Yep. So, okay. I don't know why I feel like I'm about to cry, like we're about to say goodbye, because I know we're not saying goodbye. But it sure does feel like we're saying goodbye.
We're full of a lot of gratitude right now, and that's often a very emotional feeling, which it should be. So I think that's quite appropriate.
So let's talk about some happy stuff, because, you know, we're going into 2016. So I would like to find out from you, what was one of your favorite things that diabetes related of 2015? If you had to narrow it down to three things, what would they be? It doesn't have to be device. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It can be whatever you want diabetes related in your life in 2015. What were your three favorite things?
Wow. That is actually a really difficult question for me. So I need to talk a little bit about how my brain works on the inside. So I apologize to everybody who's about to be exposed to a little bit of the mess that's the inside of Scott Johnson's head. But I picture it a little bit like boxes. And so when I'm preparing for a task or a trip or a business meeting or something like that, I've got that box open and kind of spread out all over the metaphoric table, if you will, while I'm working on it. And then once that event or task or trip is over, I pack it all up and put it away until I need it again. And I think an unfortunate side effect of that way of moving through my life is that a lot of the time periods tend to just kind of run together. So as I'm thinking back over 2015, I'm trying to remember, like, what all exactly happened. What are the different things that I did or experienced? And I'm thinking, like, I have a lot of boxes in my head that are just packed away and neatly stored and not so neatly labeled and organized. But I always really enjoy the Friends for Life conferences run by Children with Diabetes, although don't let the name of the organization lead you to believe that it is for children only. That's just the name of the organization. The biggest conference is called Friends for Life. It's an annual conference held down in Orlando, Florida, every July, and it is an experience that I hope someday every person with type 1 diabetes gets to experience. I say that because this conference brings in incredible talent in almost every field related to diabetes to offer education, and it's almost a full week of different presentations and discussions and just learning from top-notch people in the field of diabetes. And along with that, you're surrounded by people, like-minded people, and other people with diabetes. So you are appropriately making friends for life and connections that are sometimes just so close that I consider it definitely a life-changing event. And I'm so thankful for these events. And I think about the children and kids who grow up with their diabetes in an environment like Friends for Life. It's so much different than when I was growing up. And they have a built-in network of people they know who are living well with diabetes, and that type of thing. I didn't experience that until I was an adult. I knew some people, but it wasn't like it is for these people who grow up in the Friends for Life and Children with Diabetes environment. So, but again, I want to stress the fact that it's not a children-only conference. There is a track for people, for adults with type 1. I am blessed to help work on that track and serve as faculty on it, but I would do everything I could to attend that conference, even if I weren't serving as faculty there. So that's a highlight every year. I'll even put that as a highlight for 2016, even though it hasn't happened yet. That's how confident I am.
Cheater.
Yeah,
cheater.
I know. Hey,
cheater.
But it's that's how it is. That's how it is.
So that's one.
This has been the first year that I've been able to work full time with My Sugar. So I've been working with them for a couple years, but in the past, this is actually my third year with them. And in the past 2 years, it had been part time and project work, and everything has been going well for both of us. So we were able to grow that into a full time role, and that has been really great, allowing me to focus a little bit more and spend more time with them. So that's been that's been a year long highlight. If I can kind of cheat again, it's an incredible group of people, and I learned so much working with all of them. So I'm very thankful for that, and excited about everything that's happening there. And I think that the other thing that I'm going to use is I've actually been very impressed by the pace of iteration and the pace of upgrades and new features and technology coming out of Dexcom. We saw a lot of new things from them over this last year. Just a few to mention is Dexcom Share, and I actually give a lot of credit to the Night Scout Group, CGM in the Cloud, and all those folks for, I think, accelerating and putting a bit of pressure on Dexcom to get that going. So thank you to all of you people working on that stuff. We saw the Clarity software come out from Dexcom, making it so much easier to get reports and information on the Mac operating system. But then, of course, the Mac upgraded their OS and broke everything again. So Dexcom, we need you to fix things faster and get up to speed with that. But then we saw the Dexcom G5 come out, which is actually a really, really big step because it's allowing the display of the real-time sensor information on the iPhone. And so that's a really huge step. And I know it took a lot of resources and energy, and by resources, I mean time, money, and more with from Dexcom to make that leap. So, I've been really, really happy and impressed with everything coming out of Dexcom. So I think those are the three that I'll use now. And with that being said, I'm sure that there are many that I'm forgetting and that are just stuck in boxes in my head. So now let me flip grip and put some pressure back on you. What would you say for your three?
I would say for my three, of course, Dexcom will probably be my number one as far as diabetes, because it totally changed the way that I share my information with my family. Mm-hmm. And I love the not having to have the receiver with you. But I think for me, the best part of Share is actually sharing my data, because I'm not secretive when it comes to my data. I know it's probably crazy because a lot of people keep that private. So I share with my, usually the four people that I share with all the time is my mom, my husband, Sarah, my friend Sarah, and of course I share with myself because I have to follow myself to see it on my Apple Watch. And then I have someone always coming in and out. So one time I was sharing with Michelle Lichtman, and I was sharing with my supervisor, and I was sharing with a clinical specialist at my job, because I share with everybody, because I think that if I can't be open and comfortable with explaining diabetes to people that I'm around 24/7, I can't help and educate the public on what diabetes is. So I just kind of just share with anybody. I think even after, my clinical specialist at my job, after she's finished, I'm going to let one of my close colleagues share with me, because I just don't care. So I think that's one of the things that I like about Share is using it more. Of course, it helps me stay alive when I don't wake up. And
but it's kind
I
of like an education tool that way too, right? I mean, you're exposing them to an incredible amount of information and letting them get a feel for what it's like to walk in your shoes a little bit.
Exactly, because to me, that's the best way. I mean, being where I work, it is diabetes, but a lot of people don't know anyone with diabetes. So if I can give them, like you said, a glimpse at what it's like for a week or two, for them to understand, mm-hmm. you know, why somebody might call in and, you know, cry because their blood sugars are crazy, you can actually see that my blood sugars are crazy and why it's crazy, and to be able to actually come in to work the next day and have a 10-minute conversation about, okay, why does it do this when you do this? Or I noticed that at 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning you're low. So it's kind of cool to see and have that conversation and that dialogue with people that I work with, because that's my way of giving back to them or to the community
yeah.
by allowing these people in the space help serve them better.
So can I ask you a question? I share with my dad, and
mm-hmm.
And then like you, I also share with myself, because I have to follow myself in order to see it on my Apple Watch. And again, hello Dexcom, like this, you hear how ridiculous this sounds, right? Do you, with so many different people following you, one of the things that I've been concerned about with having many more people following me is, in the midst of a low blood sugar, you know, your adrenaline is pumping, you're low, your phone is alerting at you, and then all of a sudden you receive 4 text messages. Right. Isn't that a bit overwhelming? Has that happened? And if so, how do you deal with that?
No. So my mom knows. So when everybody else is asleep, my mom seems to be awake. I don't know why that is or how that happened, but she is an hour behind me. So when I usually go low in the middle of the night, it's my mom texting me or calling me.
Mm-hmm.
The people that follow me at work, they don't really say anything. But, like, my supervisor, he was like, oh, my gosh, I saw that you were this low and I wanted to pick up the phone and call you. So by him telling me that, it kind of made me say, okay, I need to put up the rise alert. So when I'm eating
mm-hmm.
glucose tablets, they'll see my blood sugar going up. So I won't panic, make them freak out. So if I don't text my mom back and I'm eating glucose tablets, she'll see my blood sugars going back up. So that made me aware of, okay, maybe this is why my mom is freaking out at 3 o'clock in the morning, because I'm not responding to her. So she responds in the middle of the night. Sarah usually responds in the morning or any other time
mm-hmm.
of the day, but she only does it if she's noticed that I haven't done anything about it. Hey, are you okay?
Sure.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. But I've never had more than one person text me more than once. At the same time.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I set those rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, I know you're following me, but this is happening at the same time. This is what you do. If I'm asleep and I don't respond, then, because, you know, my husband, he's here, but sometimes, just like us, they're immune to the sounds as well.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm okay with my mom calling in the middle of the night, or if I – so pretty much during the day, it's pretty much nobody really bothers me. It's more so, hey, Cherise, your blood sugar's been 250 for the last 4 hours. Are you sure you're okay? And that happens
mm-hmm.
every once in a while, but I've never been bombarded with text messages from everybody asking at the same time.
Okay. Yeah, good. All right. So we've got the Dexcom stuff is one of your three. What else have you got?
Yes. My next thing would be, I would say it would actually have to be this past 15-hour Twitter chat that we had. And the reason why I'm going to say this is that I usually don't say something that, you know, we do is one of my favorites. But I think what came out of it, probably why it's my favorite. So, you know, there's not just, you know, people in America that have diabetes, and there's not just people in Australia or wherever. There's a world filled with people with diabetes out there. But I noticed that every November, it's, I think I called it like something like Black Fridays when I was in Canada at the World Diabetes Congress. But it made me realize that we as a community, I mean, I know that people collaborate, and I get that, but we as a community do not collaborate enough. And what I mean by that is in November, we get a lot of emails every day or every week about something. And to me, we can make more of an impact if we talked more outside of just November to help each other, whether it's, hey, Charisse, I want to let you know what's going on here. So is there any way you can tell, you know, the people that you reach about what I'm doing over here? Or say, you know, quarterly there's a conference call with people that just want to, you know, network with each other, but to not to help self-promote, but to help provide or provide information about what they're doing in their community for more of a collaborative approach. And so there is Type 1 International, which is based in London, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And during her hour, Elizabeth was actually the moderator during the hour, and she was asking questions. And while I'm sitting here, and I'm like, you know what, this is such an amazing organization. Why are we not talking about access to insulin all year round? Like,
yeah,
this could be so much better socially through social media if we didn't just talk about it in November, right? So my goal for next year, if I don't do anything else, is to step outside of the normal circle, the normal DSMA, you know, DHF, Diabetes Sisters, and to learn more about other international organizations to figure out ways that we can help them get the word out about what they're doing or maybe collaborate on something. So that's what I would like to do next year. So that's why I said that that particular chat was probably my favorite, because everybody, it was more of a community type of 15-hour Twitter chat, and it was engaging and it was fun. So I would say that was probably my second one. And we also had over 441 people participate, which was pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
441 people. We had, you know, Deb Greenwood and Hope Warshaw from AADE. We had Rachel Head, which is a CDE. I mean, we had so many amazing people from the diabetes online community participate, so which was pretty good. And I would say my third thing would have to be, what else did I do this year? I would
so
have to say Vancouver.
Thinking, oh, yeah, that's right. So
Vancouver was the recent
International Diabetes Federation World Diabetes Congress. Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that.
So it's funny because I bought a passport for the first time to go to WDC in Dubai 4 years ago. And to be at their Congress this year was kind of like a reunion for a lot of us. So I got to see a lot. Every time I travel, Scott, it's always for diabetes. I never really get to do and participate and have family vacations because I do so much travel for diabetes. So at this Congress, my goal was I wanted to sit down and I wanted to participate and listen in the Living with Diabetes track. They have a track at WDC now, Living with Diabetes. So it's people from the diabetes community, it's educators, psychologists, all doing this, participating in tracks. So that was my favorite thing. But I would honestly have to say the best part of it all was getting to see so many people that I've talked to online that I've never met in person. And to hear about the great things that the Germany Diabetes Online community is doing for their country, it's pretty amazing. And I'm definitely looking forward to learning more about Bastion and the DOC out there, some watching them grow and trying to figure out ways, like you said, to help each other out. So that was actually pretty fun, and I actually kind of just took it easy. But you know what? Something just came to my mind, and it happened so early in the year that I almost forgot. Actually, the FDA, was that this year or was that last year?
Well, there's a lot that happened with the FDA this year.
The FDA, when we went to the patient panel with Kelly Close, was that this year or last year? Oh, gosh, my years are running together.
See? And now that's also a sign of us getting a little... Nope, I'm not even going to say it. You already know where I'm going with that one, right?
Okay, so yeah. So act like you didn't just hear that, because I think that was last year. Oh, gosh, that was last year. Okay, so sorry. Go ahead, Scott. What was you about to say? I'm sorry.
I was not going to say anything, but I think I really like the track of thinking that you're on tonight, because this is something that Jen Hansen from Connected in Motion talked about a while back, and how there's a lot of recreating the wheel in what we, and I'm going to say we as like just the overall diabetes space. For example, we like to create a movement or an effort when there may be a group that's already investing or they've already explored a lot down that road, or they're already doing something in that space. And so I love the thought process that you're working on in that, you know, taking time to learn about what others are doing and investing energy in helping kind of boost their signal. I think that's really a good way to go about it. It sounds good to me, anyways.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's like, okay, I know this year I'm supposed to, in 2016 I'm supposed to get my associate's degree, woo woo. So I'm going to be tied back in school. So it's like, okay, if I can't, and there's other people that can, or other people that's doing good things about it, I want people to know about it. So even if it's just me taking time to learn, like I said, the first one that I'm going to learn about is Type 1 International. So let me take what I learn about their organization and see how I could help. I mean, to me, that makes sense. Especially since right now it's kind of one of those things where, you know, we're right now currently figuring out what's next for DSMA Live and other things. So to me, it's more important now to be able to help others while we're trying to figure out what's next. So it's not going to, it's my way of giving back, right? And supporting people and giving back. And if I can do that, even if it's just somebody saying, hey, Sharice, can you share this tweet? As long as it's not selling anything, I'm going to share the tweet because everybody should know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah, I also agree and try to I try and do that as much as I can, but it's sometimes it's hard because it's I don't know, the internet's a strange place, and you share something and well, it's easy for people to misinterpret something and take issue and all of a sudden you become a target for something and it's crazy because all you've done is shared something or boosted the signal of someone else and all of a sudden here you are investing a ton of energy defending yourself against weird stuff. So it's a bit of a crazy town at times, but I don't know. I think I should stop there because it's just a weird path to go down.
Yeah, so let's back up a little bit. So we're gonna go down that positive path. We're gonna breathe. We're gonna let it go. It's funny because during the track, one of the tracks, so I spoke and presented with Ninja Bedic One from the UK. So my topic was on how the diabetes online community or how to face diabetes with the help of the diabetes online community. Her topic was pretty much how, even though the diabetes community, online community exists, do they really know what they're talking about? And so when I first saw that, I'm like, holy crap, is this a clinician, right? Because it's a clinician, it makes sense. But when I found out it was Ninja Bedic One, I'm like, oh, no. So before we spoke, I asked her, I said, so, you know, what is your presentation? She said, no, it's not what you think. And I was like, okay, because before she started, I was like, we both can agree that there are some crazy people out there. So hers was more of, this is how we use it, but these people do exist inside the community. So the questions that was asked was very great. Well, I mean, were great. And a lot of people were curious about the community. So that was pretty cool. But to go back to what you were saying is sometimes I think that it's okay to step away. As long as your friends know that you're still breathing and you're alive, then that's okay because there's so much happening in the world of social media, not even just diabetes related, that it is time consuming and you get drawn to every emotion and every post. And by the time you look up, it's 12 o'clock at night and you're sitting there and you're reading the same stuff over and over again. And then the comments, not even just the status updates, but then you go into the comments and then you're like, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe this person said this. And you have to kind of back away because your emotions are getting tied to it. So you're like, oh, my God. And that's what it is. There are crazy people on the Internet. There are people out there that love attention. But it sucks because you don't know. So when there's someone out there that really needs help, you don't know if you should say anything because you've just been sucked into so much.
Well,
so sometimes,
and it's, I have trouble distilling or telling the difference between when it's someone that I'm not familiar with or that I don't know, and and they're asking for me to help spread some information or spread some news, it's sometimes very, very difficult to tell mm-hmm. whether they are legitimate, whether they have good intentions, whether they are a reliable source of information, you know, those kind of things, which I think are very important. And it's quite hard to almost, I'll use the word validate that information without spending a lot of time with it. So it can be hard to know what's what with that.
Yep.
But I think it's, you know, I think what you're talking about is taking the time to get to know people and their organizations and their missions and their values before you decide to share or do anything like that. And I think that's a good approach.
Mhm. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And you know what else I'm going to do? So totally not diabetes related. But I am going to send a card once a month to somebody, like a handwritten card.
Mm, that's great.
Once a month.
Yeah.
I don't know who it's going to be. There's going to be random people that I know. Because sometimes...
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, sometimes emails are emails and, you know, the text messages are good, but sometimes it's good to get something in the mail to say, hey, I'm thinking about you,
mm-hmm.
And I think I want to go back today, because even, you know, at home, I think next week we're going to start this thing where we're going to have one day, Monday through Friday, no electronics. We're going to pick one day
nice.
Out of the week to just sit, watch TV, or play a game or something, because...
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to be a little bit too much, you know?
Did you, you know Paul Madden, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he is a fan of doing, this is something I had done for a while, but then it fell off my radar, and your card idea reminds me that I need to do this again, but he would... every so often just call someone and just call them to tell them that they're awesome and he's thinking of them. And I think that's like a great thing to do. So I would, for a while I was doing that, and I would pick up the phone, and I think I called, for example, Christopher Snyder and said, hey, you know, this is a quick message inspired by Paul Madden, and you're
mm-hmm.
awesome, thinking of you and that's it. But like, what a cool thing to do. And I think it's just positivity breeds positivity. So yeah, do the card thing. I think that sounds great. I'm going to pick up the inspiration from Paul and call some people every so often too.
Yep. And I think that's one thing. So that's two things that I'm going to do next year. Something that collaboration, and then just mailing somebody a card just to say, yeah. So I don't know, though, but it's crazy because, I mean, it's cool, but kind of crazy when you sit back and you look at, like, even just the last 5 years on how things have grown, and then the amount of people that you've met and the friendships that you had or the work relationships that you developed. Like, I could never, if you would have told me that this is what my life would be like 11 years ago when I was diagnosed with diabetes, I would probably laugh at you.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing.
No, you're,
it's amazing.
Yeah. It really is, and I'm so thankful.
It's an amazing privilege, right?
It's a real blessing, yeah. It's to think about all the great people that are in our lives because of this thing called diabetes. I would trade the diabetes in the blink of an eye, but I'm so very thankful for the blessing of all the great people it's brought into my life. So, yeah, I think it's cool to reflect on that a little bit. You're right.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's funny because it's a privilege. It's a privilege that we can actually do this. It's a privilege, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege. Okay, I won't get too mushy. Anywho, so we got 5 minutes left. Do you have any big plans for the holidays or anything coming up with My Sugar that you... So, you know what? Let's do this. We got 5 minutes. So let's take 3 minutes because I want you to tell everybody about the CGM and My Sugar. And we'll close out because that is pretty slick.
Yeah, we've actually got a lot of really great things happening at My Sugar. And, you know, full disclosure, this is the company I work for. So I am so totally biased that it's not even funny. But some really cool things have happened lately. And this time of year is always really busy and crazy for us in the best possible way. But I'll try and be quick because there's a lot to talk about. But we were featured by Apple in an iBook that Apple published called Transforming Healthcare. So
wow.
We think that's very, very cool to be considered working with Apple on digitizing kind of the coming wave of healthcare. So we're very excited about that. We just finished forming a strategic partnership with Colgate. So that was part of a campaign called 30 Days of Laughter, and that was just the first step in a big partnership that we've got working for next year. So we were really, really thrilled to partner up with them, and we're looking forward to doing some really big things with them next year. We also just launched a global partnership with iHealth and have integrated their Bluetooth blood glucose meter into My Sugar logbook. So that's exciting.
So My Sugar now integrates into the HealthKit app on the phone?
Well, this is the... Are you familiar with the iHealth products? They have blood glucose meters and scales, and there's a company, iHealth. It's not the same as the Apple Health.
Okay. Okay.
Two totally different things. Although Apple did also feature iHealth in their when they introduced the HealthKit in that keynote presentation, and in fact the HealthKit is how we integrate with the Dexcom CGM. So that's what you mentioned earlier. So Dexcom feeds the data into Apple HealthKit, and then uh-huh. My Sugar Logbook pulls that information from HealthKit. So yes, we do integrate with Apple Health. We control that environment a bit because, as we've learned over the past year or so, not every app that talks back and forth with HealthKit does it in a clean and organized way. So we limit what apps we communicate with through that. So we have to test it and evaluate it, make sure that it works right, and so forth. So some apps work with it, others don't. And but yeah, Dexcom, if you've got Dexcom data in Apple Health, you can see that now as a really beautiful CGM trace in My Sugar Logbook. Similarly, if you have a Medtronic CGM system, you can import that through a web importer. So you have to export your data file through Medtronic's CareLink and then import it through our web importer, and then you'll be able to see that trace as well. So, of course, we're working to streamline all of this and make it easier and faster and make it so that the data is just there. That's the end result. Some other fun things that we recently included is an estimated HbA1c based on blood glucose readings. So if you enter enough data, we'll be able to provide a estimated A1C result for you. And then we also are showing activity data on the graph now too. So that's kind of the latest bunch of happenings in the MySugar world over the past few weeks. So,
wow. Y'all are busy.
Yeah, it's fun and tiring and exciting all wrapped into one. So we like to work in what we call we work in really fast iterations. So we make small steps and learn from them, and then make another small step and learn from it. So we've got big plans, and all of these features that I just mentioned are very small first steps in bigger directions. So for example, we don't have everything completely fleshed out with some of these things, but it's a first step in the right direction, and we'll be continually making improvements as time goes on. So in the past, we've been pushing out new updates about every 2 to 3 weeks, and each of those updates includes minor improvements on existing features and so forth. So we just keep taking steps to polish things up and make them all work better.
Well, I think you all, I've been a big fan anyway, ever since the app came out, and especially since I had the opportunity of meeting Frederick back in Dubai 4 years ago, and it's pretty passionate, and seeing him again in Vancouver, to see people passionate about helping the community, helping people with diabetes, it's pretty amazing. So you all are doing great things, and hope you all can keep it up, because it can only get better, better and better and better.
Yeah, thank you. And you're right. Frederick is an amazing example of the type of people that we have at MySugar, and I'm blessed to be working alongside them. And every one of them there is inspiring, and I'm learning a lot from all of them. It's great.
Very cool. Well, it is 10:03.
Yep. What a fast hour. Again, that's a sign of a fun show, at least for us, and hopefully the...
I was going to say, at least I have fun.
Anytime
we can get away and actually just talk, yeah. I think that's good.
Yeah.
So I think we'd be good.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, we'd like to thank all of you for listening and participating in the show tonight. Remember, DSMA Live is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. Visit dsmalive.org to listen to our archived shows, read show notes, and check the schedule of events for upcoming shows. You can also subscribe to the podcast by searching for DSMA Live in the iTunes Store. Be sure and wear blue tomorrow for Blue Fridays. And until next time, we would like to wish you all a very happy and healthy week.